Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Thanks, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 6 through 13. And I'm going to put it here on the board for us. Here we go. If you have your cell phones, put them on the off and silent position. Amen. And I've entitled this morning's message, Understanding Who Jesus Is. Understanding who he is. And once we comprehend why he came, who he is, and how does he pertain to our life in our time. I'm talking real time, our present time. And once we truly comprehend who he is in our life, we're going to have a greater understanding. And we're also will continue to learn how to line up according to his will. See, when you line up according to his will, that's when you'll know you're walking in the will of God. Why? Because even through the suffering, there's still joy. I prayed this morning that, you know, the world has temporary happiness. You can be happy in this world, but it's temporary. A lot of times the happiness turns into sorrow, right? But what God gives us from heaven is eternal joy. Joy that'll never sour. Can I get an amen? Amen. It'll always be exhilarating, wonderful. His presence when he comes upon you. Have you ever been disappointed when his presence have come upon you? No. As a matter of fact, you become on fire. You become energized. Quick testimony, real quick. I remember I was attending North Park Apostolic Church. I was a young Christian. And I was working at Western Lumber. And we were working 10-hour days. You know, all day Saturdays, you know, so 6 days a week, you know, just a lot of manual labor, throwing, stacking timbers and 2x4s and 2x6s, 2x8s, 2x10s, 2x12s, and just stacking them. You know, I would be on the other end of a saw man in the mill, and he would send a board, and I would stack them 13 wide on 2x4s. 2x6s were 8 wide. I still know them. 2x8s were 6 wide, and then 2x12s were 4 wide. And after 6 rows, you put lath so that the rows wouldn't tumble, and then you built on top of that until you had like 3 tiers, and then you would have to put a band around it, come in with a forklift, pick it up, go stack it, come back and start telling again until you build up another load. And so that was the kind of labor that I used to do, and it was tough. And then one day I got laid off. I'd never been laid off there. I was grandfathered in, and there was at least 10 grandfathered in workers that got laid off, and none of us ever got laid off there. I was already working there almost 10 years. And so they laid us off, and we were laid off for about, I'm going to say, maybe 4 months at the most. And then they called us back. And then I never got laid off again until I left that place when I got saved. But when I was off for 4 months, my body was no longer conditioned with that type of labor. So they called us back. And oh my gosh, they called us back for 10-hour days. What do we mean 10-hour days? We'd clock in at 5, And then we wouldn't go home until 4:30. So 5 in the morning till 4:30. Those are 10-hour days. You only had 30 minutes for lunch. And then all day Saturdays. I'm telling you, on my second day back, my hands were so sore. My back was hurting. Everything was hurt. Everything was. And we had a deliverance class at North Park Apostolic Church. Dr. Loretta Gonzalez, she taught the class. And there was a good maybe 30 of us in there. Were you in that class too, brother? Deliverance?
Not with Loretta.
But okay, so she taught that class. And that Tuesday night rolled around, and I was still in my work clothes, and I wanted to be there so bad. And I was contemplating. I didn't even shower, nothing. I said, you know what? I got to make the class, man. I don't want to miss this class. So I sat. I came in late. I was sitting in the back, and I was like so sore and just hurting back there. And Dr. G saw me back there. She saw my, you know, my condition. She stopped, and she said, I want everyone to turn toward Brother Fee and just point at him. Put your hand toward him. And she started praying in the Holy Ghost for me. Within 2-3 minutes of her praying, I felt this oil just was pouring down my head. And man, it just covered me. And then all of a sudden, man, I sprung out off the chair. And I had this supernatural energy I cannot explain to you or comprehend it this day. But I was filled with all kinds of energy and joy. I started running around in the place. And they were all laughing. They were going, oh man, God just touched him. I went home. I couldn't go to bed. I was up till like four, trying to get some sleep. I had to leave. I had to clock in at 5, right? But when I got at work, man, I was throwing lumber. That whole week, I was just throwing lumber, man. It was like God supernaturally touched me. I'm sharing that is because I understand who He is. I understood what He has done for me and what He will do for you no differently. And I needed Him at that moment. And He touched me. It was like, boom. And I came alive. And no tiredness, no soreness, no nothing. And I wasn't even tired to go to sleep. I was just so, it was like drinking that whole thing of coffee right there. But it wasn't caffeine. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Woo, it was just incredible. It's hard to explain. But I understand. I was understanding Him slowly but surely. Who He was in my life. He was my all in all. He was my healer. He was my deliverer. He was my teacher. He's my father. He's my friend. And when you understand those attributes, you'll know how to entreat Him and relate with Him. For those of you that are married, it's no different than relating with your spouse. I hope you talk every day. Just imagine being married and never said a word to each other. That's not a relationship, is it? And so if we're there on 1 John, let's go here and let's read and let's God have His way this morning. Amen? Here we go. Verse 6. This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Notice capital S, the Holy Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his son. Who's his son? The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, look at this. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not what? Believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in where? His Son. Look at verse 12. He who has the Son has life. Say that with me. He who has the Son has life. One more time. He who has the Son has life. Okay? And then it goes on. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Well, this is a serious matter, isn't it? He who does not have God, his Son, doesn't have life. Here's the thing. I need you to catch this. For people that do not have Christ, they're physically alive, but they're spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Look at that. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's look at this. Who is God, and what is he like? Who is God? Is he just somebody up there that said God lives up in heaven? Is he a mystery to us? Is he someone that you can say, I know who he is with 100% assurity? Well, it's not what we conceive in our mind. It's what's written in the Word. The Word of God describes his attributes, who he is. And if you believe the Word, then you'll believe who he is in your life and who he is in the world. You see, saints, some people imagine him as a loving grandfather in heaven who's waiting to bless them, while others think he's a harsh judge sitting on his throne ready to pour out punishment. I remember that when I was a kid. I was only like 8 years old, and we had a Bible on our coffee table that was bigger than a suitcase. And there was coffee stains all over it, so it wasn't used as a Bible to read. It was part of the decor. Okay? And then I remember I walked by it one day, and I opened it up, and I just wanted to see what was written in here. And I saw a hand out of nowhere came and slammed it down. And it was my oldest sister, Liz. She slammed it down. I go, why did you do that? She goes, don't read that. I go, why? God is mad at us. I go, what did we do? He goes, he's just mad. She had no reason, no thought. She just was told that God is mad at us. So from that moment on, I didn't want nothing to do with God. Why would I want to deal with the God that's mad at me when I didn't do nothing to him? That was my thought, right? That was my twisted imagination. Well, see, we can't go by hearsay. We can't go by someone that says this is who God is. We got to know God for ourselves through our personal relationship and what is written in the Word of God regarding him. Can I get amen? Amen. Those two will confirm one another. You see, there are also people who don't even believe God exists because they want to live as they please rather than being obedient to his divine authority. But however, saints of God, the only way to truly know God and his attributes is to rely on the descriptions of him which are found in Scripture, and to have a personal relationship, as I just said. So let's look at this right up here. The born again is through true repentance. In order to truly receive God, you have to be broken before God and sorry for your sins. Can I get amen? Last week when we went over the teaching on the map of hell, remember you saw that one compartment where people were dropped in to Hades, where they were burning forever with the worm dieth not? Those are people that are unregenerated. Those are the sinners, the backbiters, the fornicators, the adulterers, the people that are not born again. These are some folks that are even attend church, but they're not born again. They don't know who he is. And they go home and they live a whole life of duplicity. They live a different lifestyle than they do when they're around the church. There's people like that everywhere. Everywhere. And so the only way to truly know God and his attributes is to rely on the descriptions that are in Scripture. And so the Bible is clear. You must be born again. Let's turn to Romans 8:11. Let's look at this. In Romans 8:11 it says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," in other words, if God is living in you, "he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Meaning, here's a simple fact. When Jesus comes to rapture the church, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, boom, you're going up immediately. He's going to quicken you, and you will be changed, and you will be like him. Praise God. You see, the word quicken is used in the King James Version of the Scriptures, of the Bible. And it means revive or make alive when he quickens you. Listen, before we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were dead in our sins. Can I get an amen? We were dead to the things of God. When that hand was slammed down at the age of 8, I didn't want nothing to do with God. But what did that make me? A total unbeliever. Misguided, misled, but I was still an unbeliever because I didn't want nothing to do with God. My goodness. But God had to come and quicken me. He had to make me come alive. None of us pursue God on our own. Did you know that? None of us do. You can't come to God on your own terms. God has to make something in you come alive. He quickens you to turn to him. And once he quickens you, you will now walk after him. You will walk toward him. Praise God. Praise God. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:9 up here. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance." You see that? They were sorry for their sin. They understood their grievance, how they sinned against God. Listen, when you find out how wretched you are and how holy God is, you will fall on your face and say, "Oh God, have mercy. Have mercy on me, God. I fall so short of your grace, of your glory. Help me, God." Look at this. "For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation." You see, God is a God of order. Can I get amen? You can't just be happy one day. "Oh, I'm happy. I'm going to church. Walk down the aisle. Yeah, I say a sinner's prayer." And not even know why you said it, but hey, I'm in heaven now because I said the prayer. No, there was nothing that you were sorry for. The Word of God is clear right here. You can't alter what we're reading right here. "For godly sorrow produces repentance that leads to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." Man, it's very clear in Scripture, isn't it? Very clear. Let's look at Romans 10:9. "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look what verse 11 says. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? And so, we read in Scripture what God had placed for the church. Listen, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, before Jesus ascended, he gave his apostles certain instructions, right? So he gave them instructions, this is what I need you to do to carry on your mission while I go away to be with the Father. Well, this is what this is one of the instructions that he gave to Peter and all the apostles on how to deliver the gospel message. And look how the order it is. This is what I tried to share with some other saints that don't understand this. Is in Acts 2:38 and 39. Look at this. Then Peter said to them, repent. Notice there's, you have to repent. You got to turn from your godly, ungodly ways and turn to a holy God. You must make an about face. You are walking the course of this world. God is saying, turn to me now. Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? You know what remission means? Remission of sins means forgiveness of sins. Your sins need to be forgiven by God. And it needs the blood to be applied. Can I get amen? Amen. So repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And then it says, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. You know how this has become relevant and true in my life? Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children. All my kids are saved. And their kids are walking after God. My grandson. And his sister. And he's praying for the two younger ones to come into that place because they're still young. But God has promised this would take place. And my daughter, she homeschooled them. She sheltered them from the world. Why? Because this world is so progressive. It's so woke. It wants to teach them transgenderism. It wants to teach them homosexuality. It wants to teach them adultery. It wants to teach them how to fornicate. It wants to teach them how to rob and steal. This secular system that we have, when you give, what you're doing is you're giving them up to the government. And why do most people do that? Because they got to go to work and make a living. I get that. But sometimes there's some sacrifices that you have to make. I would not turn over my kids over to the government, especially the government of today. And now you're having communists, socialists, Muslims that are becoming mayors and congressmen and senators. Man, that was never spoken of. What? 10 years ago. And now look at this society. I'm telling you right now, is this country is going slowly down a slippery slope if it doesn't come back to God. The Bible says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. See, the Bible says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we're seeing this in real time. We're seeing this. We're seeing all this shenanigans. We're seeing it in the church. I was just sharing with Pastor Art, and he sent me a wonderful teaching by Lance Wallnau. Do you know who Lance Wallnau is? Yes. He taught that the church of today now, it's no longer these big facility churches. He goes, all the churches are going to the home. He goes, that's where the anointing is. That's where the power of the Spirit is. Hallelujah. Why? Because these big old giant churches, all they're worried about, how do we maintain and keep this facility? How do we keep our cars and our homes that we have acquired? And yet people are going to hell and not teaching on adultery and fornication and homosexuality. No, just keep filling the basket. They're not preparing people how to live for God. They don't even know their congregants. They don't. I remember when I was at Horizon, the senior pastor, they would walk him out through the back door. He wouldn't engage. Too many. So when you get that big, it's no longer a church. You know what it is? It's a business. All it is a business. A corporation. Got to keep the payroll going. Got to keep the lights on. I got to make this $35,000 a month payment to keep this building, to house that many people. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away from. Can I get an amen? Jesus, help us. And so let's look at this. A right understanding of God is essential because it has eternal ramifications, knowing God's attributes. We have to understand who He is in your life. Listen, every predicament, everything that God allows you to go through, He understands why you go through it, and He's there for you. But you have to understand who He is and how He's going to entreat that situation in your life. Are we going to come to Him in fear? Or are we going to come to Him in trust? Faith and trust. That's right. Let's look at Romans 1:19. Look at this. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. He's talking about this world that we live in. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. When you walk outside, you feel the wind blowing, you see the trees, you see the birds, you see everything that God created. That is a testimony in itself, because they didn't make themselves. Can I get amen? God made it all. It's clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. Even the ones that are in the Amazon jungle that are so remote, you know what? They will still stand before God. And a lot of them are going to realize there is a God who made all these things. But yet, the Word of God is still finding them too. God said that in the last days, everyone would hear the Word of God. Because now you can use satellite, internet. Oh, that's right. You can reach everyone. And guess what? Whatever happens around the world, you can see it live. Live. Immediately, in real time. And so saints, to deny His existence is to suppress the truth and bring ultimate disaster upon ourselves. We all have convictions that govern our lives, and being certain about God's identity should be one of them. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. A conviction is being so thoroughly convinced of the absolute truth of something that we are willing to take a stand for, regardless of the consequences. What is that conviction? A lot of times we have to stand strong. I remember when we were at the temple, and I was teaching on a few things, and the subject of homosexuality came up. After the service, this one guy came up and confronted me. He got in my grill. He goes, I got family members that are like that. I go, I'll pray for them. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, all we can do is pray for them. What do you mean? How come they're not accepted? I go, they can come in here and hear the word. But if they're going to live that lifestyle amongst us, I'm going to tell them to leave. Don't you be hugging and rubbing on someone's leg and putting your arm around the same sex. I go, not here. I'm sorry. You're coming here to change. You're coming here that you need help and deliverance from that wickedness. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And he never came back. I'm sorry. Go find a church that'll accommodate. You'll probably find many of them in Hillcrest. Jesus, help us. So saints, when we are convinced that God's word is true, we have a sure foundation for our convictions about God. Let's look at this for a moment. God is an uncreated being. No one created God. He existed and was always who he is, God. Oh, no, nobody made God. Can I get an amen? And you can't conjure it up. Oh, yeah, yeah, somebody made him. Really? See, saints, he existed before the beginning of time and is the creator of heaven and the earth. Look what Genesis 1:1 says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So he was already there when he created the heavens and the earth. And what are the heavens? The galaxies, the universe. There, some of them are trillions. Some solar systems and galaxies are like trillions of light years away from each other. That's how vast it is. The Hubble telescope can't even see that far. And yet God created the heavens. And then he created this earth. Praise God. And we learned last week where hell's located, huh? Down in the middle of the earth. Wow. You know what blew me away is when Jesus spoke about the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, and how how Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham. Well, that place was called paradise, but that was in heaven. Because Jesus had to go down when he, remember, I taught last week, he had to be crucified, and then he went down into that lower level of the earth, and he applied the blood to all the righteous that were in paradise. There, it was called Abraham's bosom, and he freed them all. All went to heaven from that moment on. And then from that moment on, every righteous person through Christ has immediate access to heaven. But before, the Old Testament saints, they were in a place called paradise. And there was a gulf in between, and the other side was Hades. That's why we remember the rich man saw Abraham send Lazarus to give me a drop. He wasn't looking up, he was looking across. It was the same earth. But what separated them was that gulf where no one can cross to the other side at all. It was impossible. God did not make it like that. Wow. God created all that. He created the heavens. And so, how many know that there are three heavens? The first heaven is here, our atmosphere. Then the second heaven is the universe that we just spoke about. The third one is above that, is where God lives. And if you think how vast the universe is, which I just spoke of, how much more vast is heaven? And yet God prepared a place for us. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Look at Psalms 90 right here. Look at this. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, for you are what? God. God. And so another attribute of God is he's unchangeable. He's unchangeable. Did you know that God does not go by our emotions. You know, we can cry, and he's not going to go, Ben. No, he doesn't change. He's God. And whatever is written about him, it's concrete on who he is. And what he says he will do, he will do. What he says he won't do, he won't do. I've got word that he doesn't change. It's found right here in Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, and are not consumed. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. We change every day. There's some of us, man, that'll bless someone with our mouth in the morning and curse somebody at night with the same tongue. What happened there? Because we're not God, right? We still live in this body of flesh. Help us, God. Look at Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same. What? Yesterday, today, and where? Forever. Forever. Saints, what a comfort it is to know the Lord's perfection, his purposes, and promises that never alter. It will never alter. If he has given us a promise in his word, we can be certain that he will never change his mind. So let's look at one of his attributes right here. Look at this. God is omnipresent. He fills all space. Listen, when Caleb is worshiping at his church called TK, at the same time, the Holy Spirit is over here as well as he is over there. Why? Because he fills all space. He's everywhere where he is honored and worshiped. Can I get an amen? And this means that God is present everywhere. We don't have to search and find him. In fact, saints of God, we can never get away from his presence. You can't get away from his presence unless you go to hell. No matter what we face, he is with us. Look what King David wrote in Psalms 139:7. Where can I go from your spirit? See the Holy Spirit? Capital S. Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall what? Hold me. Look at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. In other words, God has precedence over the light and darkness. God, Jesus, could go down into hell and shine the light on these demons and those who are in there that are being tormented, and they come right out of there. Help us, God. Help us, God. And then another attribute is this. God is what? Omnipotent. He's all powerful. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed to know that he's all powerful? Meaning he spoke this whole world into existence by his word. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He destroyed all of Israel's enemies. Guess what? What can you think of what he destroyed in our life? Yes, yes. Sin, yes. But there's another thing that he destroyed in our life. He destroyed the works of the devil. That's why he came. He came to destroy the works of the devil in our life. Before we come into the saving knowledge of God, we are doing the works of Satan. Oh, yes, we are. I'm so blessed that my grandson never knew the old Brother Fee. He never knew that side of me. I thank God. And I still have a video that I will never show him. Someone filmed me in the lumber yard at Western Lumber. And every other word was the F-bomb. I looked at that. I said, man, that's another person. I go, I don't even know this guy. I don't even know that guy. Because I don't have that mind no more. I don't have that heart no more. Because what did he do? He came to destroy the works of the devil. He eradicated it from my life. I couldn't even find myself. It was like I couldn't swear no more. It's like he deleted that file in my mind. And it just didn't go into the trash bin. He emptied the trash bin too. I couldn't retrieve those words no more. If there was a miracle that happened with me that night, the custodian led me to Christ. It was not so much delivering me instantly from crystal meth, from marijuana, from alcohol, from pornography, all those stuff. He delivered me instantly. I didn't go through 1 second of withdrawal. I didn't have to go to a 12-step program. But the one thing that he delivered as well was the language of my mouth. I understood at that moment, God, you are so real. You are so supernatural, because I could never have done this on my own strength. You can't. Even if you went to school and tried to reconform your mind. He has to sever it from your soul. That's what he does. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he severs it, destroys the works of the devil. Look at 1 Samuel right here. 1 Samuel 2:6. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. This is the power of God working in someone's life. Can I get an amen? Look at Joseph. Joseph, who was thrown into prison for standing for righteousness, because he didn't want to go to bed with Potiphar's wife, who tried to entrap him. He ran. The Bible says, flee fornication. Flee useful lust. Don't negotiate. Don't say, well, you know, we can neck, but, you know, let's not go any. Flee. That's when it's time to flee. Can I get amen? It's time to go. Because you have no power over that. You see, God has all the power. Look at Matthew 19:26. With God, all things are possible. Can I get amen? Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on. With God, all things are possible. However, saints of God, the Lord never acts in a manner that's inconsistent with his nature. For instance, he cannot lie or be tempted by evil, because he is absolute goodness, perfection, and truth. That's who God is. That's his attribute. Look at this in Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God's not like a man. Man can lie all day long. I like how my brother G used to say. Yeah, he used to say all kinds of sayings. Faking the funk, talking up the side of your neck. You know, it all meant the same. But God cannot lie. If God's promised you certain things in your life, one of the things, if he doesn't promise me anything else, one of the things that he has promised, that I would be with him in eternity, that he has prepared a place for me, that I will be with him forevermore. I will be with all the saints of old and the saints of present there. He's prepared a mansion for us. Can I get amen? And he has written our names in the book of life. Thank you, God. Now, another attribute is he's omniscient. What does that mean? He's all what? Knowing. So we see that he's all powerful, he's all knowing, and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once, right? Those are three attributes that only God has that humans don't have. Nothing in this whole entire existence of life has these attributes, but only God. Nothing can be everywhere at once. Only God. Did you know that billions of people who know him, that pray to him, he hears every one of our prayers at the same time? That's how vast he is. That's how powerful he is. That's how much knowledge and wisdom. He's beyond our little puny brains. Our little brains is but a, like, if you were to get a pepper shaker, and just sprinkle some pepper on your cup, on a table, and you know how you see the little black specks? Well, one of those tiny little specks is our brain. That's how tiny and puny they are to who God is. We're but a speck. Thank you, God. So saints, God has complete knowledge about everything, including past, present, and future events. Although we might want him to share his knowledge with us, saints, as finite beings, we are incapable of comprehending the infinite vastness of God's mind. We cannot contain it until we are changed and we will be like him. Until that day happens, we cannot take all his knowledge and comprehend it. It'll be too much for us. We'll explode. We can't contain his glory. Look at Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us." There are things he will reveal, and there are things that he will keep from us. Because it's not time yet. Can I get amen? Saints, God doesn't satisfy all of our curiosity, but he has revealed what he desires us to know in his word. That's why you have to be in his word. Can I get amen? And if we can't find an answer in scripture, we can leave our concerns with him, trusting in his infinite knowledge and wisdom. So God is what? Invisible. Remember the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus? One of the things he said, I think it was in verse 8, chapter 3, that no one can know when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes upon you. It's like the wind. It could either come from the left, from the right, from the top. You don't know because you can't see it with your natural eye. But you can feel it. You can feel the presence of God. And so God is invisible. Look at 1 Timothy says, verse 15, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. We're not going to see who he is until we are changed and we become just like him. You know what? I can wait. I can wait. See, Lord, I'm not in a rush. When you change me, it's because it was time for me to be changed, to be like you. And Lord, while I'm here waiting, God, help me fulfill your plan in my life. Help me fulfill the call. Did you know that we are called? Did you know that God has a mighty plan for your life? He called you from your mother's womb. Look at this in Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. Look at that. The firstborn over all creation. He's the invisible God. Yet he is there. Thank you, God. I'm so glad he's there. That's why be careful when you're alone. Don't think he's not there. Don't dabble in sin. Oh, nobody's here. Everybody left. Let me make sure everyone's gone. Well, that's not good advice. Can I get an amen? He's there with you. Although Jesus was visible as God in human flesh, no human being other than Christ has seen the Father. Paul described him as the only sovereign, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. Listen. Remember when Moses encountered God and God told him, "Turn, Moses, you can't look at me. For if you look at me, you will die." So he had to hide his face in the rocks, right? And let God pass. Why? Because he could not contain the glory. This flesh would disintegrate. If we were to see God in the flesh, we would disintegrate. Because the glory would be so, so profound. But then when we have a body like his, we'll be able to contain the glory. Can I get an amen? Man, we will be filled with so much joy. There's going to be so much joy in heaven that you're not going to need anything else. You're not going to have to worry about going to a bathroom. You don't have to worry about going to bed. No. It's eternal bliss. It's a world that we cannot comprehend yet. All we could do is read the things that are promised for us. Can I get amen? These are promised for us. Thank you, God. And then one of the things that he is truly made of. And let me just say this. Even last week when we saw the map of hell, even the ones that are dropped in there, did you know that the Bible says that that is not his desire, but that all would come to repentance? And so he's not dropping them in there. These people are dropping themselves in there. He came and did his part. Now it's people who won't either receive it or reject it. Thank you. Aren't you so blessed he didn't make us like a robot? Warning, warning, Will Robinson. Warning, warning. You remember that?
Yeah. Danger,
danger, danger. Thank you, God. He didn't make us like that. Just imagine if he made us like robots. Then there's no joy in that, is there? It wouldn't be no joy for him. But he gave us a choice to choose him. So God is love. Can I get amen? God, say that with me. God is love. That's right. And we find this in 1 John 4:16. Look at this. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. And God in him. You came across people that are always mad and angry? They have nothing good to say? They walk around like if they had a glass of prune juice. Or a saladito. Yeah, they walk around like, you know, they bit into a really sour, sour lemon. Like, oh, you know, they have that just that ugly face. Come on, there's people like that, right? And then you got to ask, Is the love of God in there somewhere? Is God in there somewhere? No. And then out of their mouth, bleepity bleepity bleep. Bleepity bleep, bleep bleep bleep. And then what really gets to me is bleepity bleepity bleep, Jesus Christ. There's some actors on television I will not watch no more. Because that's part of their lines that they say. Bleepity bleep bleep bleep, and then Jesus Christ. And you can't say anything about it.
Because you're watching it. What are you going to do? Speak to the television?
Yeah.
No, just turn it off, right? That's all you can do. Just turn it off. Change it. Because they're not going to quit. They don't know God. And they mock him. Hollywood mocks God. Hollywood is an enemy to the cross. Can I get amen? So God is love. And this is not just what he does, but who he is. Love is an essential aspect of his nature. You got to remember that. The ultimate expression of his love for us was the act of sending the Son, his only begotten Son, into the world to redeem us as sinners. We were sinners headed to hell. And yet God's love said, wait a minute. Let me save you from that horrible place called Hades. Thank you, God. How many so blessed? How many so thankful that we no longer are going to that place? He put $200 in our pockets and said, pass, go. Don't stop there no more. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus. In a very familiar scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only what? Begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Did you ever hear the story I shared when I was listening to Raul Reese?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
How many know who Pastor Raul Reese is?
Yeah. Oh,
he has a radio show called Somebody Loves You.
Yeah.
And he's part of the Calvary Chapel family.
Yeah.
I was riding, I forgot what freeway I was on, and I had K-Wave on. Because he comes on K-Wave at 5 o'clock. And so when I would get interference, I found out that there's a K-Wave app. So when you go on the K-Wave app, now you're on satellite, you don't get no interference. So he was teaching on hell too. And then what he shared, man, it was so profound. He said a congregant came to him and said, can you please plead it with him to go pray for his grandfather. His grandfather had no relationship with God, didn't want God in his life, and he only had maybe hours to live, maybe a day or so. And so Raul Reese said, yeah, I'll go give it one last shot. So he walks into the hospital ICU room, and he's got all the gadgets on, the heart monitor, all that. And he approached his bedside, and the guy opened his eyes, and Raul Reese says, I'm Pastor Raul Reese. One of your family members asked me to come to pray with you. Would you like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior before you pass from this earth to the next? And out of his mouth, he cursed them out. I don't need your bleepity bleepity bleep God. I don't need this one that you call the Christ. He was just cursing up a storm, just cussing them out. Didn't want nothing to do with God. And then all of a sudden, Raul Reese was right there. The guy started screaming in anguish. He said, my feet are burning. He said, my legs are burning. He goes, I'm burning. And then, boom, he slipped right into hell. Right before him. He died right there and went right into hell. And Raul Reese, man, said, I can't believe what I just witnessed. He never saw with his own eyes someone dropping into hell. He had to go back, and share it in his teaching. It's a real place. It's a real place. And he saved us from that horrible place. This is why you should have a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness, always for him. It's not so much he delivered us from our sins. He delivered us a place of torment. Eternal torment where the worm dieth not. You saw the illustrations I put last week. People with worms burning in the fire, coming out of their eyes, their mouth, their ears, crawling all over their head, Oh, it was pretty vivid. Help us, God. Help us, God. And so in mercy, grace, and love, he reached down to save. And he gave eternal life to all who believe in the name. So another attribute is this. God is holy. God is holy. And there is no sin in him. Can I get an amen? There's no darkness. That's why he says, be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Listen, we're always going to be tempted. We're always going to try, the enemy's going to try to entrap you through friends, through acquaintances, on your job, in your school. There's always going to be that moment of temptation. You got to know that God is holy, and if God is holy, he lives in you, then stay holy. Can I get amen? Have a made up mind that you're not going to sin before him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at Psalms 99. It says, you answered them, O Lord, our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is what?
Holy.
Holy. Thank you, God. Saints, that means he is separated. He is separated. He's separated from all sin. And his holiness, his patterns, we are to follow, should excite you and I on what he delivered us from. Can I get amen? Although we can never live without sin as God does here on this earth, we who are committed to Christ as our Savior and Lord should have a desire to live holy of a life of obedience. So this is how you defeat sin here on earth, is choose to obey. It's as simple as that. You either obey or you rebel. There's no in between, right? Just obey God. And he'll see. He'll see, okay. He understands who I am in his life. Holiness is a lifestyle to which God calls us and for which he equips us through the power of his indwelling Holy Spirit. He gives us sensitivity to sinful attitudes and actions in our lives, and prompts us to immediately seek forgiveness from God and request his strength to turn from that particular sin. Listen, saints, we're not going to live a perfect life. I hope you know that. And we will, every now and then, slip and fail God. But God doesn't want you to stay there. Can I get amen? God will put it in your heart and your mind to repent right away. Why? Because we know he loves us and what he's done for us. And we will cry out, say, God, forgive me. God, cleanse me, wash me, help me, God. And he's there. It's when you don't turn to him no more. Now you're teetering with hellfire. An unrepentant heart that won't turn. Help us, God. And so God is what? He's righteous. He's righteous. He's righteous. He is the final standard of righteousness and always acts in accordance with what is right. Furthermore, saints of God, righteousness is his desire for each of us. And he's given us his spirit to enable us to do what's right. For what? He is a God of wrath. Listen, you know what he saved us from? The wrath of God. Do you know that the saints of God, the church, is not appointed unto wrath, but to what? Eternal life? The wrath is going to be poured out to all the unbelievers that are left behind. The wrath. Look at John 3:36. Look at this. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, And he who does, I need you to catch this verse and really put it in your soul. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. What? The man that slipped into hell. The wrath of God was abiding on him because he rejected the Son of God. And many of us as family members and friends who to this day have rejected the Son of God. Now, is there an opportunity for them to turn? Yes. But if they die in that state, it's over. How do you say that in Spanish? Ya estuvo. Ya se fueron. They left this earth to that ungodly place called Hades. Tormenting. Being tormented. And so this means that the Lord hates sin and everything that is opposed to his moral character. Right now, this woke society that we live in, God is merciful. Did you know that God is waiting patiently for them to turn? But eventually, if they stay in that condition, that woke condition, the wrath of God will be poured out on them. You see, the wrath of God will never come upon those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior. Why? Because it is limited to those who defy the Lord and reject His Son. And so we need to understand that God, He is our judge. Can I get an amen? Let me just say this. When we stand before God now as believers, we're not standing at the white throne judgment. That's for all the unbelievers, and that's for Satan, the false prophet, the Antichrist. They're all going to stand before him in the white throne judgment. You and I, we are going to stand before the Bema seat of Christ. We're going to stand before Christ and be judged of what we've done in our body as a believer. And this is where what he gives us is what we did accordingly. And so there are many different types of blessings, many different types of crowns. But when we stand before him, it's not to send us to hell. It's to reward us or take some rewards away. Look at this. It's right up here in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You see? He's going to reward us according to how we operated here. Listen, if you're called to be a saint of God and you're treating people badly, God's going to say something about it. If you have alternative motives, God's going to judge you on it. Look at, let's read it again. For we must all, does it say some? No, all, these are believers. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not the white throne judgment. This is the Bema seat of Christ, where he gives out his rewards to us. That each one may receive the things done. See, we're going to receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This is why, do more good things than bad. Can I get an amen? That's all I can say. Be obedient to him and deny the flesh on lustful things. Can I get an amen? I'll tell you what worked for Satan in the Old Testament. Because God raised up Israel, right? To be the nation for him. But you know how he got to them? Satan he's masterful. He would send women into their camps and have them sin. And so that turned God's judgment had to come upon his own people. And that's what Satan's trying to do with the church. He's trying to turn them into, turn and have them fall into sin. And if that happens, then God has to, He's holy, He has to chastise us for being disobedient. Come on, it works the same way. Guard your heart, saints. Guard your hearts. Because the enemy, in these last days that we live in, he is trying to pull one over your head right now. And he'll use unbelievers, he'll use the opposite sex, he'll use everything in his arsenal to try to trip you up from falling away from the will of God. And that's what it says. We must all appear and receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Wow. And so we must understand that God is a rewarder. Did you know he's a rewarder? God wants to give us his best. He wants to give you lovely things, good things, things that will go into eternity, things that will last forever. Saints, we each have a choice regarding how we build our lives on the foundation of Christ. Look what I found in 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another one builds on it. So what we're doing is we're building on what was already laid. Can I get amen? We're the latter end. We're the last day saints. We're building on what's already been built upon. But let each one take heed on how he builds on it. Look at this. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, notice capital D, that's the day of the Lord. That's when we stand before God at the Bema seat, at Christ's judgment, not the white throne. Look at this. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Look at this. If anyone's work which was built on it endures, he's going to receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so through the fire. See, we're still going to be saved, but don't you want that mansion? Or you want that little hut on Hallelujah Lane? Huh? Or do you want to live in someone's two-car garage up there? You know, I'm just joking, but I'm just trying to make it simple here. Right? Thank you, God. So, in closing, God is to be worshipped. And today, we worship God. Thank God for Brother Caleb and my grandson Benjamin. Yes. They came and they brought it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
They worshiped the King. We entered into that place with God. And so he is the Lord of the universe and our Savior, who is worthy of all honor and glory. Our worship of him is displayed when we let his word dwell in us richly and praise him with singing from a grateful heart. That's what we were singing, with a grateful heart. And Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And I close with this scripture, John 4. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and what? And in truth. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you, God, that we were reminded right now what you've done for us, the body of Christ. And you reminded us on your attributes that you're omniscient, omnipotent, and you're omnipresent. Thank you, God, that we can take the Word of God and understand these divine principles that are laid out in Scripture. Lord, help us, Lord, when we struggle with certain sins that rise up every now and then. They raise their ugly head to entice us. Help us be overcomers, O God. Help us to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, and that we would press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Help us, O God, to be that overcomer, that we would continue to abide in the vine. And Lord, that you would count us worthy to receive all that you have done for us and what we're about to obtain when we see you face to face. I'm praying right now for those who have logged in on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would repent before a holy God, that you would cry out to God, say, God, save me, I'm a sinner. I've logged on before, but now I'm listening to this message, and God is convicting my heart. If that's you, we want to pray for you and with you and lead you to the cross. All we can do is point you to the cross. You just got to remember, the prayer doesn't save you. Prayer is just a tool that God has given mankind to communicate with the Holy God. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. And so, let us be that last little push that you need to take you over the top, to surrender to Him. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy? Is he worthy? Amen. He's worthy. Listen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.